Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to a one-timer of Judd's Hockey Show. Zolga, Declan Goff, as always, coming to you for, I believe, Declan, the second time this week, correct?
I think third.
Third time this week.
Second time on Judd's Hockey Show.
And that's right. And then we talked wild on Mackie and Judd after the Blues victory in the preseason.
We're doing double dips in the power play here. We're on this first and second.
You know why? Because this team's exciting. Because people are excited about this team, and darn it, with the way that sports are going in this town, we're going to capitalize and talk about a team that looks like, if nothing else, it's going to be a fun team. And it's been a long time since we've said that, I think, at the outset of a season about this club. All right, so the Wild beats the Blues on Adam Beckman's overtime goal on Wednesday. They then play again at home on Thursday against the Blackhawks. This time, instead of playing their B team, they play most of their A team against the baby Blackhawks JV team. They win again in overtime. Matt Dumba goal. A lot to get to here, but Declan, here's where I want to start, because I think it's incredibly important, and I don't think this guy is going to be on the opening night roster, but I've now seen enough to know the hype is real. Now, I think there's, to be fair, levels of hype, okay? There's Kaprizov hype, which is, oh my God, what are we seeing? This is unbelievable. And then there's hype of, oh, this kid is really good, and this kid has the potential to be great. He's not there yet, but he's got the elements to make his game great. And I'm talking about the guy that wears number 23 and center of the fourth line last night, Marco Rossi.
Okay.
First round pick in 2020, missed, of course, and this has been discussed thoroughly, missed most of last season except for the World Juniors because of COVID, and then a heart condition that came after that. And played in his first game, essentially, or not, essentially. He played in his first game on Wednesday against the Blues, and then they brought him back on a back-to-back and played him on Thursday. I'm not going to tell you what he did that, from a skill position standpoint, Dex, that excited me, because I think those things are going to come. Like, we know he's got skills. I'm going to tell you what I saw last night that, if you're Bill Guerin, Dean Evason, Wild fans, you should absolutely love.
Okay.
This guy is not a big man. He's not a big kid. He is listed, I've got it written down here somewhere. He's listed at, I believe it's 5'9", 185 pounds, okay? And like I did on Wednesday, I decided to just basically focus on individual players on the ice last night, because I don't really care about how the game is flowing. Who cares? Yeah. So I decided, okay, each shift I'm going to try and pick out a guy and just watch that guy play, because there's tons of things that if you're watching the puck, you don't see. Marco Rossi, my man, he goes to the front of the net consistently. And I'm talking, and he's not this guy's size, I'm talking Joel Eriksson-Ek front of the net. Like, he is going and getting hit. He's pursuing pucks. He's going to the boards. And the great thing about that is, not only does that show some guts that you like to see, but he's also more skilled than a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. So he's taking the puck away. If I'm not mistaken, last night around center ice, he created a scoring chance for himself by cherry picking Kirby Dach, who's a big time player prospect, young emerging player for the Chicago Blackhawks. And then here's the most impressive thing, and this is a very nuanced, you got to be into hockey, but this is a very small thing that I saw by just focusing on Rossi when he played on his shifts. The Blackhawks have, and I can't pronounce his name, so forgive me, in front of the Wild's goal. So this is in front of Talbot last night.
Okay.
The Blackhawks have a guy, I looked this up, a forward. He's a center as well. 6'4", 212 pounds. So we're talking about a big, big man here, okay? Marco Rossi went and basically tied him up and defensively performed his task at 5'9", 185 against this guy. So we're talking a huge difference in height. We're talking an enormous difference in weight. And he could have easily said, I don't think I'm really going to do this, or just have simply been overpowered. But he wasn't. There's a lot of things about this guy's game that I absolutely love.
Yeah, I mean, his hype is legitimate. I mean, he went 9th overall to the Wild, but there was a lot of people who had him going top 5 in the draft 2 years ago, or in 2020, I should say. and the hype is legitimate. He is a prolific scorer at the OHL. He looked good in the World Juniors tournament, at least a few years ago. And his pedigree and his position is something the Wild have lacked basically for their entire history of their franchise. I mean, the Wild have been around for 20 years, which is honestly crazy to say because time goes by pretty quickly. But they've lacked this legitimate prospect superstar. You know, Granlund had hype around him. You know, even guys like Kirill Kaprizov have had hype around him that delivered. But we've yet to really see a center come up through the ranks and have the legitimate pedigree and the projections that could honestly fare to hit. And Marco Rossi looks like he's going to be that guy. Now, I do envision that he'll most likely start this season in Iowa, and I'm sure people who are through this podcast or through this video on YouTube are even saying, what are you talking about? He's probably going to be one of the cuts. He's not going to make this team. Yeah, most likely. As we record this on Friday morning, he probably isn't going to make the opening night roster in Anaheim when the NHL regular season opens next week, but I don't envision him being in Iowa very long. He hasn't played regular NHL games or regular hockey games up until this last few weeks after his heart condition last year. But I envision him going down to Iowa. I envision him tearing it up. And once he gets up here, I mean, you could have a legitimate case that if you have Kaprizov, Fiala, Rossi, Beckman, Boldy, you know, you actually have a legitimate stable of young guys here that you can build around. So the hype around Marco Rossi is legit. You know, I try not to get too worked up with prospects because we end up getting burned by our projections of prospects across all the sports. But I think Marco Rossi is special.
And I think he definitely is too. What impresses me, though, is the work, because that's like Granlund. Granlund could look unbelievable at times. I mean, Mikael Granlund had skills that were fantastic, but he didn't necessarily apply himself consistently. And part of my contention is he didn't, because the room didn't really have a thing to say to him if he didn't. You know, he wasn't held accountable. And what I loved about Rossi's game last night, it wasn't stealing the puck from Doc. It wasn't the fact that he actually should have scored off a beautiful pass. I think the play was from Fiala, if I'm not mistaken. It was a bang, bang, bang play, and Rossi was breaking down the slot and had a chance to basically just tip the puck past the goaltender, hit the post, but it was a really nice play. But it wasn't that stuff that excited me. It was taking on guys in front of his own net. It was driving to the Blackhawks net. It was doing things that a little guy could be like, that's not really my job. I'm going to get killed. Sure. That's what I love, because if you've got the complete game, if you're willing to sacrifice, that's how we get out of the vicious cycle that the Wild was in for so long, where it was like, well, that's Parisi's job, right? Parisi goes to the front of the net. I've got skills, or I'm a natural scorer. That's all well and good, but what do you have now, Dex? You've got guys more and more who work their asses off. Kirill Kaprizov works hard. Like, Kirill Kaprizov could be a very successful player by cherry picking. Which, let's, you know, if we call a spade, Marian Gaborik had long stretches where he cherry picked.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so this is the first time I can remember the Wild having actual star potential players.
I know.
And to be abundantly clear about this, Zach Parise was a hard working player who had skills. He was in no way a star.
No,
he was never a star.
You know, he was regarded as a very well respected and very, very good player. Pedigree was there with him with Team USA and his time with the Devils, but it was his workmanlike attitude that made him a very good hockey player. And now you're seeing the cons of that, and the fact that he's in his mid-30s and he's breaking down. And he's no longer the player he used to be. Doesn't mean he can't be an effective player, but he's clearly not going to be the Zach Parise of old, even now that he's with the New York Islanders. But, you know, small guys like that, like Rossi, you know, that can go in front of the net and do dirty things, that's important. And you know, it's almost the opposite of Joel Eriksson Ek. Like, XMO is doing a lot of gritty and pain-in-the-ass things, but he ends up paying it off, and he gets rewarded because he puts himself in positions to score goals. Marco Rossi, if he's doing the things you're talking about, on top of having the natural skill that he already has, that's just going to be a good thing for Rossi. And Wild fans should be excited about that. They haven't had players like this in a long time. It's actually legitimately exciting to be a Wild fan. And I know they're going to be in cap hell, but they need these young guys to step up, because that's the only real way that this team can hit their ceilings, if all these young guys hit.
Topic two. And I teased this, I think, on Judd's Hockey Show that we did a couple of days ago, because we didn't have time to get to it. But this is a very important topic. I'm just going to make a statement to you. with the first unit that the Wild puts out there, there is no reason why this team shouldn't be at the very least top 10 in power play efficiency.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They scored again on the power play last night, and I will run through, and I believe that this group, which was not really necessary, I believe that this group spent the entire power play until they scored on the ice. They didn't come off, but that's fine because it is Eriksson at center, Fiala and Zuccarello on the wings, Spurgeon and Kaprizov. Okay. That's the first power play.
Okay.
So Spurgeon and Kaprizov at the wings, and then left to right, Fiala, Eriksson Ek, Zuccarello.
Yeah.
The goal that they scored last night was basically a thing of beauty, which was then cleaned up into a goal by Eriksson Ek, who, by the way, I'm going to put him on 25 to 30 goals at the rate he's going.
Write that down.
Because here's the thing. Dude, he's cleaning up. Mm-hmm. Like, he is standing in front. He's the garbage guy. And that's why your point to Bill, so when we talked to Bill Guerin about, 3 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
And you basically said something along the lines of what? Eric's next more of a grinder. He scores a lot of greasy goals.
He gets rewarded, but he doesn't have skill to score highlight reel goals.
He doesn't need the key thing, I think, from your part is he doesn't need that.
Yeah.
He doesn't. When you are out there with guys like Zuccarello and Kaprizov, which, by the way, is going to be the first line as well, you don't need to be like, include me in the highlight goals. Guys, give me the puck. He is picking up the puck on the doorstep. He is creating screens in front, which he's become very adept at. But I don't know if it's a hot take or not. I think that this power play has a chance to be top five. And I think that there is no excuse with the skill and talent of those five guys. Seriously.
Yeah.
That they can't be top 10 or that they need to be top 10 and can be top five.
Yeah. I mean, for years. And I despise being at XL Energy Center when everyone obviously is yelling, shoot, shoot, shoot. But when you have Spurgeon, Kaprizov, Fiala, Ek, Zuccarello, I mean, the only real nitpick, you could make a case like, well, maybe you swap out Dumba for Spurgeon. Maybe. But also, Spurgeon is probably a smarter player than Dumba is. And,
yes.
And having also, and to my own point, or to counter my own point, having Dumba on your second unit, that's a great problem to have. I mean, Dumba's got a slapper, and Dumba should be scoring a ton of power play goals. And he has the ability to score big-time goals, which we've seen before, and we saw it last night in their preseason home finale against Chicago. For years, I always thought Wild fans wanted a more lethal power play sometimes than making a run at the Stanley Cup, just because it always seems inept at the worst possible times. But Kaprizov and Fiala together, those are two guys that can score. Zuccarello is just a natural setup playmaker, and Ek is not going to, again, wow anyone with his skill, but he puts himself in a position to score garbage goals.
Right.
Which is great.
Yes. Yes. He creates screens. He creates problems. He is a pain in the ass to play against, which is fantastic. Yeah, it's the perfect combination is probably too strong. It's a
ideal.
It's yeah. And it's one of the best combinations that I think I've seen from this team. Mm. Power play wise.
Yeah.
I really do. Because everybody. The other thing is everybody, I think, knows their role and they all want to work. I can't tell you how much different it is. And this is, you know, let's be upfront about this. This is why Bill Guerin cleaned out the locker room. This is why Suter's gone. Parisi's gone, I think, because he just simply hit his expiration date. But the reason why they started over again as far as leadership and locker room is because people know their roles, they'll play their roles, and nobody is pouting about their roles that I can see yet. Which brings us to our third talker, a guy that could pout about his role and his lot in life, too.
Okay.
I don't know how much you saw last night of the Frederick Goudreau, Matthew Boldy on the left, Kevin Fiala on the right, second line.
A little bit.
Okay. Boldy can be and needs to be more physically aggressive.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as we'll touch on, he got hurt. And I don't know at this point how long he's going to be out. It was his left leg. It didn't look good. And in fact, Evanson said post-game, it didn't look good. But the unfortunate thing for your guy is Fiala, I think there was no question. I'm not saying that Boldy was great.
Sure.
But the line itself and the speed of the line and the people on the line worked, I thought, pretty well and certainly had some chemistry and, more importantly, potential.
Mm-hmm.
Boldy's injury, and I saw on Twitter, I've not confirmed this, that he left the arena in a walking boot last night. Boldy's injury almost assures that Victor Rask is going to be on the left wing on that line on opening night, which is a shame because I saw Rask was on that line in the Colorado game on Monday night, and then I went last night and watched. And Boldy, even when he's not at his best, just brings more because he's got more speed. You're a poor guy, Fiala. Mm. He can't catch a break. I really thought to myself, this could work. Like, this could work next week.
Yeah.
And now it's clearly not going to happen.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And some people, I saw some people think that, well, having Fiala, and you and I have kind of went back and forth and disagreed and or understood that, what is the second line? What is the third line? Because if you're just looking at projections analytics, Fiala on a third line sounds like, oh, you can hide a playmaker on a third line. To me, the Hartman, Greenway, Foligno line is more of a natural third line. And you look up and down a line chart, you might see those guys as number two on the line chart, when in reality, they're more of a checking and a third line. With Fiala, though, it stinks because I think he's got so much talent and so much potential. Not even potential. His potential has already come to fruition. He plays with his hair on fire, and this team needs a player like that. And for whatever reason, they blackball him a little bit and put him in a third line role, where at least he's getting top power play unit time. That's important. I mean, I would be even more upset if he wasn't getting top power play time. But as we saw even in the playoff series against Vegas, because he was noticeable in that series, but he was trying to do so much, but you knew he needed help. And I know I kind of trashed Frederick Goudreau a little bit when we were talking about these lines earlier this week, but look, Frederick Goudreau is probably going to be fine. Like, he's a fine bottom six guy, but in terms of unleashing Kevin Fiala, I just don't know, putting him and then also Victor Rask as his flanks or as his line mates is the best possible solution to get Kevin Fiala going.
So I like, the more that I watch Goudreau play, I like him. He's got some speed. Like, he actually, with Boldy on the left wing, that line looked good. I liked it.
Okay.
And Boldy did not have, before he got hurt, a great game. Again, he needs to be far more consistently physical. He's a big enough guy. He sort of gets pushed around and right now doesn't push back, which I think you immediately need to. Goudreau, to me, looks good. But I think the thing with Fiala is, I think what Evason and Guerin crave from him is consistency to play like you talked about. Monday, he played ticked off. Like, he was going. Last night, I felt it dropped off a little bit. And I think what they want is, because Kevin sees himself as a step down from Kaprizov, which is fair.
It's fair, yeah.
I think what they want from Kevin is to say, okay, that's fine, but then watch Kirill play and mirror the intensity Kirill brings. I mean, how many shifts does Kirill take off? Last night, it's a preseason game. He is playing keep away from the Blackhawks. Now, yes, it was a B squad, and yes, Kirill is far superior, but he doesn't take any shifts off, I don't think. It's incredible. The playoffs are a very difficult place to succeed. It wasn't that Kirill dogged it against the Golden Knights. It's that that's a tough place to succeed. But I think that's what they really crave from Kevin, is the attitude that Kirill brings, because the skill is where the skill is.
Yeah, and I'll disagree with you. I don't think it's the intensity they want from him, because I could make a serious case. Kevin Fiala has more intensity than Kirill Kaprizov. I can make a case about that. It's what they want from Kevin to mirror Kirill's detail. They want him to mirror his detail and what he does night in and night out. Because actually, I think Kevin Fiala actually brings more intensity, because you see that in good and bad ways, than Kaprizov. But Kaprizov has more detail and more sense and awareness that, hey, watch me and do what I do, you know, because Fiala does play with his head on fire. And Kirill, it's even if you're not a hockey fan, you can be wowed by watching Kirill Kaprizov.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if a non-hockey fan would pick that up initially with Fiala.
Right.
I don't know if they would, but I know what you're saying, that they want him to mirror that attention to detail that Kirill has.
When Kevin is playing intense, it is probably among the tops on the team. The problem is, it's not shift after shift after shift. His consistency is what they want.
There you go.
Which is why they probably don't need him to play at the level of intensity he does when he's really PO'd. They probably, if that comes down a notch or two and he can just keep it flatlined of that intensity, that's what they want consistently, and they don't get that from him. And I think that's what frustrates them. And that's why he's being put on the PK, because they're trying to look for ways to basically take a match and put it below his butt and say, look, dude, grab the chance here. And he has every financial reason to do exactly that.
Oh, he will, too.
He does. Last thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because I watched it last night and it's recency bias or I just was focused on it more. He scored the game-winning goal in overtime. But Matthew Dumba's passing last night and Matthew Dumba's play was outstanding. And now he did get called for the hook. Yeah, that resulted in the penalty shot, which, by the way, looked like a late hook to me. I'm not sure that's a penalty shot. But anyway, it's preseason. Who cares? But his passing last night and I thought his play was really good. And I'll give you one in particular that I absolutely loved. He made a stretch pass to launch Marcus Foligno on a breakaway from behind his own net that was reminiscent of the passes that Kevin Love used to make to teammates, the court long passes.
Sure.
It was the same type. It was perfect. And it was on Foligno's stick, and he didn't score, but he still had a great scoring chance and just got stopped by the Blackhawks goaltender. But Matthew Dumba's overall game, so not just the OT goal, Matthew Dumba's overall game last night really impressed me. And if this is going to be him, this goes up a notch now for sure.
For sure. Yeah, he's always, I think, had the ability to be an offensive player and make sexy plays like that. But it's been his defensive warts, which have improved, by the way. I'm not saying that he's still a liability defensively like he used to be, because he's not. But he has a tendency to sometimes maybe make a boneheaded play, i.e. that penalty shot that Chicago drew. But if he is, when he's locked in, and also his clutchness, I mean, what, I know it's preseason, but that was the seventh, I think, game-winning goal. If you want to include the six that have happened in regular season or overtime for Dumba. So he just has a knack for being clutch at the best moments. That's a good sign. Matt Dumba, the Wild need Matt Dumba to finally kind of break out of being snake bitten for the last few years and be the player that we've seen before. So, yeah, I'm excited for him. And that was a hell of a play, and I'm excited for what he does this season.
All right, awesome. So the Wild will wrap up the preseason on Saturday night against the Blackhawks in Chicago, and then they begin the regular season next week in Anaheim. We will have plenty more on Judd's Hockey Show. Hope you enjoyed this one-timer. Declan?
Bash, shoot, score.